You'll listen to a podcast brought to you by Renew Church. Renew is committed to reaching people and building lives through faith, family and fun. We hope you'll be blessed by this message.
So one thing we do, if you... We have to be quite careful on our promotion of the Dignity Project because we are going into nations that are Islamic nations. And a lot of nations that are ordinarily closed down to the gospel, closed down to Christianity, wouldn't allow us in. And so we're very mindful on how we put it out there. So it's put out as a very, and it is a very practical project. So we give girls reusable sanitary products that they can stay in school because that's very much connected with human trafficking. Girls miss a quarter of their education and so don't even get on to secondary school. And so their chances of being trafficked are far, far higher. So by enabling her to stay in school, get her full education, and then additionally to that, bring lots of information all about trafficking, about the whens and the hows, the tactics that the traffickers will do to try and entice the girls. It's very practical. But then the real key for me is the gospel. And anybody who's been on a Dignity Project will know this is not kind of a slip it in at the end, a two-minute gesture with a quick prayer of, oh, let's tick the God box. No. For me, the whole heartbeat of the Dignity Project is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why we do what we do. If it wasn't for him, if he's not central and foremost in everything that we do, I don't want to just do something that's nice. Leave that to anybody else. I don't want to do something that's just nice. I want to help equip girls and save them through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so to be able to take the gospel into nations like Pakistan, into nations like India that don't allow evangelists in, nations that have kicked out the big ministries, the big Christian ministries have all been kicked out of these nations, but we're allowed to go in under the umbrella of the Dignity Project. And so for me, this is a real strategy from heaven. It's not about... I get really awkward when people, it is an empowerment thing in terms of girls knowing their body is their own. So I've met girls who school teachers have, I'll just say it as is, raped them because they gave them extra support with homework. One little girl said to me, since the day her mummy died, daddy's had sex with me every single night. And she knew it didn't feel right. She knew there was something about that that was wrong. But she'd never actually been officially told that that's wrong. Moments like that, we do want to empower the girls. But what we are not is some women's liberation nonsense. We're not that. We are the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our be-all and end-all. And so this, for me, is a real strategy of heaven to be able to go into nations that are closed off, shut down from the gospel, and go in and preach Jesus Christ because he is the one who paid for these beautiful girls. He is the one who has a heart, a father's heart for these precious girls. And so we want to go and lift the name of Jesus Christ in these nations. And as a result of the project, we've reached 17,352 girls. And every single one of them have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thousands of them had never heard the gospel until that moment, until the Dignity Project went in. And so for me, that is the be-all and end-all of the Dignity Project. And it's an honour to be able to go and take it across the world into nations. I have a word on my heart that I'm going to share that will hopefully tie everything in this morning. So I'm going to speak about having a healthy balance. In 2018, some of you will remember, I fell and broke my foot in three different places. So initially they put a cast on my foot, but it transpired I am absolutely shocking on crutches. I didn't know that crutches is an Olympic sport, but it turns out it is, and I did not have the skill. I was more likely to break my other foot using crutches than, it was pitiful. So they initially put me in a wheelchair. I was out in South Africa when I broke it. That was convenient. And so initially they let me use a wheelchair, but that didn't go too well either. At one point, I will tell you an hysterical story of just of Matthew with the wheelchair, but I'll not save that for today. I'll save that for another morning. But it turns out I am shocking in crutches, so the cast was not working for me. And so the orthopedic doctors, bless their hearts, took pity on me and gave me an orthopedic boot instead. And this boot has metal plates that run right up it, and it strengthens your legs so that you can walk as normal, even with a broken foot. Ingenious. The only issue with this boot was it had a one-inch heel on my right side. So on my left, if I wore flat shoes, I was out by an inch this way. But if I wore my heels that are 2 inches, I was out on this side, and no matter what I did, whether I wore flats, whether I wore heels, it just didn't balance out. I was off. I was off balance. And so I found myself overcompensating with my hip to try and just walk normal. And it resulted in me having really bad back problems for the duration of wearing the boot, which was several months. The problem was I was off balance. But the same happens in our lifestyles too. We can be doing really well in the business place. Our business can be flying high, but our family life has totally gone downhill. We've got no time for our families, no time for our spouses, no time for our kids, and the family side of things goes down. Equally, we can be doing really, really well in other areas of our life, but our spirit's dry. You see, if you've got a plane and one of the wings on the plane is more weighty than the other wing, all that will happen is that plane's just going to go around in circles. I went rowing last year with Josiah, and I quickly discovered if I want to turn round, I row just at the one side. And the same happens in our life where sometimes we're good and we're strong on one area, but because the other side of our life's weak, we end up going round in circles. And so today I want to look at having a balance in our lives. See, we can be overworked and undernourished in our lives. And Jesus in Mark 6, 31 says to his disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place. Get some rest. He acknowledged the need for rest. He acknowledged the need that, yes, we're to be busy serving, but actually if we're not coming before him, we're working on an empty vessel. We're working from a dry cup. Are we overcompensating and walking with a limp in our lives? You see, it comes down to having patterns of work and patterns of rest. It all comes back down to that age-old Mary and Martha debate. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and from verse 38. It says, now it happened that as he entered a certain village, a certain woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary and Martha, the age-old debate of, are you a Mary or are you a Martha? Martha is hardworking. She's diligent, she's servant-hearted, and she opens up her home to have Jesus come speak to her. And I think if I'm honest, I can relate a lot to Martha. I love what we do through One by One. I love what we do through Renew Church. I love serving the kids across the world, working in poor countries. I find so much fulfillment in that, so much joy in that. But if I'm not careful, I can fall into a trap of that becoming the be-all and end-all. Through my acts of service, is my faith acknowledged? Or through stretching out of my hands, is then my relationship with God? And we can fall into a trap where it becomes all about what we do as opposed to who we are. But Mary was present in the moment. Mary simply came and sat at the feet of Jesus. She wasn't distracted. Her gaze was not taken away from him. She just sat at his feet and soaked in everything that he'd got. You see, even though Jesus has come to our house, we can become so busy that we don't spend time with him. We become so caught up in the serving that we don't actually acknowledge him and spend time to hear his heart. Now, over the years, I've heard Martha take quite a beating through this. I've heard people speak on this verse and actually really bash Martha. But the reality was, she opened up her home for Jesus. Had it not been for Martha, Mary wouldn't have been able to sit at his feet. It was Martha that opened up her home. She cooked a huge meal. There would have been so many people, probably more than 15 people to cook for. I go into meltdown cooking. We had Grace and Adam around probably last summertime. And I went into meltdown because nothing was ready. And it was two people and nothing was ready. Bless them, they ended up making their own dessert. It was a nightmare. But I go into meltdown and I'm like, here's Martha cooking a meal for 15 people. There's Jesus, there's all those disciples, there's her sister, there's herself. She's busy, she's cooking, she's serving. And I think, you know what, at least she opened up her home, at least she did something. But the key for me in this is not to push Martha out of the door and just be a Mary. It's about being both Martha and Mary in and through your life. The balance is, it's loving like Jesus, like Mary did, so that you'll take time to sit at his feet, that you'll take time to listen to what his plan is for your life, so that you'll take the time to love on him and have him love on you. But equally, it's loving Jesus like Martha did, so that you'll actually serve him, so that you'll stretch out your hand and love your neighbor well, so that you'll be willing, in serving others, you're serving him. And it's loving Jesus like both Mary and Martha did. It's cultivating intimacy with God throughout your busy, everyday, normal life. With the Dignity Project, it was only because I was in, let's say, Martha mode. I was out on the field at our children's home in King's, and a lady approached me and she said, Becky, would you pray for my little girl who's missing? Nobody knows where she is. I began to pray with her, except 2 days later, the exact same thing happened. A second mum came and she said, Becky, please will you pray? My little girl's been missing for 5 months now and nobody knows where she is. That triggered something in me of, wait a minute, how can kids just keep going missing? And it was only through being on the field out there in Martha mode that I even discovered about this whole problem. That human trafficking even became on my radar, as it were. Up until that moment, that was somebody else's problem. And in that one moment of two mums with missing kids, I changed everything. But I would have never met those mums if I wasn't out there serving. However, the other side of that coin was, it was in a Mary moment where I felt actually the plan of the Dignity Project. I was at the Hillsongs conference with Meg and Charlotte. We're at the Hillsongs conference, phenomenal, incredible time of worship. And it was during a moment of worship that I suddenly started getting all these ideas. You know, the Holy Spirit has a great way. When you start turning your focus onto him, the Holy Spirit has this amazing way of just planting his ideas, his strategies of how you can go and make a difference. See, had I not been a Martha, I covered a need. But had I not been a Mary in that moment, I could have missed what I felt God would put on my heart for these nations. It's not being one or the other. It's been both in our lives, being both Mary and Martha. The problem often occurs, actually, there's two pitfalls what Martha fell into. In this scripture, when she comes to Jesus, Jesus' reaction to her is really intriguing. So there's two pitfalls. The first pitfall was when Martha began to compare herself to Mary. She compared herself. Look at her, sat resting. I'm here, I'm washing the kitchen, I'm cooking the meat, I'm doing all the work. And look at her, she's just sat there, just listening, just chilling out. Have you seen her? Jesus, would you have word? And she compares herself with Mary. How often do we fall into the comparison trap? I have the joy of being part of a ladies' group where we meet together and we read the word together and we pray together. And that group is incredibly precious to me because it's a place where I can be vulnerable and we can really pray, not just the surface level stuff, but into the deep stuff in each other's lives. But sometimes I listen to them and I'm like, oh my goodness. Kerry Kent's a part of it. I don't know if Kerry's in this morning, but Kerry Kent's a part of it. She cooks everything organic from scratch, vegan, really super healthy because she wants to put the best meals into her kids and her husband. And I listen to how she talks about food and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm down the Asda aisle looking for the buy one, get one free on the lasagna. Kerry's there, everything fresh, organic, you know, let's cook vegan so everything's super healthy. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm looking for the cheapest options of what can just fill us up, you know? Quickest option of stick it in the oven and we're done. Or then I heard Jill the other week talking about how she had made her headboard. She had made their own headboard. Moments like that, I'm astounded. And I just feel like a complete failure as a wife and as a mum because I can barely stitch a button on a shirt. Making a headboard, that's not for me. But I'm amazed by these other women. And I can look at their lives and I compare myself to them in their strengths. And I constantly feel not enough. I travel the world with Brittany. Brittany, bless her heart, has literally become my right hand. And she is one of the most organized people I have ever met. I kid you not, you could be in the middle of the outback of beyond and you could ask Brittany for the most random object. I've once asked her for a fork. I'm not even joking, a fork. And she's gone into her handbag and pulled out a fork. How is that even possible? She has Mary Poppins handbags that has everything that you could possibly need. If you've got a dodgy stomach, Bree's got it. She's got the medicine you need. If you need a pen in the middle of an airport when you forgot your own pens and you need to fill out a visa form, Brittany's got it. She is so super organized. I, on the other hand, am not. And I look at her and I compare myself to her and I fall short. And the problem is often in times what we do is we compare ourselves to other people's strengths. We look at their strengths and we're never quite enough. We look at them in the moments where they shine and we feel not enough. But the thing today is to not compare. Stop comparing yourself. Simply focus on what it is God's asked you to do. What has God got given you? What are you responsible for in your life? Focus on what God's given you to do and put your all into that instead of comparing yourself to everybody else. Martha ran into a pitfall when she began to compare herself to Mary. The second pitfall of Martha we can pick up from Jesus' response. See, Jesus' reply to Martha wasn't to tell her off, was not to say, oh, you know, you're doing a bad job on what it is you're doing. His response was to her as you are worried about many things. I often think if we had spent the time of what the areas that we worry about, if we would spend that time in prayer instead of worrying about it, we would achieve far more in our life. What is it that's stressing you out today? What area of your life is worrying you today and causing you pressure? Maybe it's your family life. Maybe it's your business place. Whatever area it is that's worrying you, let me encourage you today to take that worry and be a Mary. Take that worry and sit it at the feet of Jesus. You see, in that moment, your eyes will come off your challenges, off your stresses, off your anxiety, and your mind will be cast upon him, and that's the strength. You see, God's got a plan. He had a plan with a man named Adam, and he's got a plan that's going through all eternity. His plan is for you. And in those moments where you're not enough, in those moments where you feel so much weakness, do you know his strength can shine through your life if you'll just be a Mary and sit at his feet? His plan is for an all-sufficient grace. His plan is a plan of redemption, a plan of mercy that was paid for you and for me. And today we can take all our worries and lay them at the cross. Sit at the feet of Jesus for a little bit this week and watch what he'll do. Take time to spend with God today. Let him nourish your soul. Don't be so much in a rush with the cares and the concerns of this world. But today choose to sit at his feet for a moment and let him nourish you. Let him love you. I want to encourage you to be both Mary and Martha through your life. Don't just be one of those who I've met people who have gone from conference to conference to conference to conference and they're taking in and they're taking in and they're taking in and that's awesome. But if at some point that's not given out, it just becomes this stagnant water. If God's constantly pouring in and you're not pouring out into the lives of those around you, you're going to become stagnant. But equally, I've seen people try and give out and give out and give out and give out, and they're never receiving back in, and they end up burning out and running dry. I don't want to fall into either of those pitfalls. I want to be both Mary and Martha in my life. I want to serve God with all I am and all I've got. I want every single day to matter for eternity. But I never want to be so busy caught up with that that I lose sight of him. I want him constantly to be my first and foremost. I'm going to pray with you because time's gone. But let me encourage you this week, even in the busyness of life, even in the hecticness of your Monday to Friday, remember to take time to sit at his feet today, to sit at his feet this week, and let him just pour in everything back out that you're giving out. Father, I pray right now that you would help us. Lord, that we wouldn't become so consumed and distracted by the worries and pressures of this life that we lose our sight of you. God, I pray that we would find you in the detail of life, that we wouldn't miss you in the moments that pass us by, but we would see you in the daily details, that we would spend time with you this week to sit at your feet, just with a heart like Mary, to sit at your feet and drink in what you have for us, to drink in that love, to drink in all that you've got for our lives. But equally, Father, I pray that you would help us to be a Martha, to go and serve, to go and love, that, Father, as we serve the least of these, in doing so, we're serving you. God, I pray that you would use the Dignity Project to reach thousands more girls, thousands and thousands more girls with your love and with your truth. But right now, here and for our daily lives, for our normal lives, with our families, with our children, in our workplace, with our neighbours, Lord, would you help us to be both Mary and Martha, to serve our community, to love our community, to love our neighbours well, to love our families well. Lord, everything that you've given us responsibility for, would you allow us to serve with a whole passionate heart, but in never taking our eyes off you. Jesus, let us be both Mary and Martha, sitting at your feet, drinking in your love, that that love might in turn flow out of our lives so much more so. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next week for another encouraging message.